I ready? I'm on. I gotta hurry. Time. Let's go. Amen. Hey, Brother Bushy. Brother. Jim Vanderhoof. Jim's in my class on Sunday and leads my music. When I'm going, I got time here. Jim's been in my my class for a number of years, but he leads my music, and then when I'm gone this weekend. By the way, Brother Bushy, I was gone this past weekend, last couple weekends, and you got somebody saved, and that's wonderful, but guess what I got to do? We were down in southern Indiana, Pastor Jeanette's church, and I got to see my first white squirrel. How many have ever seen a white squirrel? A white squirrel. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. The pastor said, just wait, you'll see a white squirrel. And that night we were in a hotel, came out the next morning and heading for the church. And I said, man, I'd love to see a white squirrel. I've never seen a white squirrel. But anyway, we finally saw one. Right, Con? Amen. All right. You know, Pastor Wilkerson has his First Timothy principles posted out here. And of course, they're wonderful, all six chapters of Timothy. And but I'm going to do a little review. And you want to put those up? And there's four of them, okay? The first one, of course, I preached is avoid what you cannot resist. And a lot of the dorm students, and Rob has told me, right, they still have it in their dorm rooms. You hung up, and it's out of Genesis 37, 38, and 39 about Joseph. And avoid what you cannot resist. And the verse that I use is 2 Timothy 2:22. Is flee youthful lusts. Joseph lost his position, Joseph lost his reputation, and Joseph lost his freedom, all because of avoiding what he probably, my consensus is that he shouldn't have been alone with Potiphar's wife in the house. We need to avoid things like that. Because morality failure is huge, and it's a mark that lasts you forever. Morality failure. There's preachers that Brother Collins here this morning, you know that you're not in the ministry anymore, right or wrong, because of morality failure. And my young people here today, please, it's good. I was with, change the subject for a minute, Angela and Liz, it was good to see them sing today. I was on tour with them this summer for a couple of weeks. By the way, wasn't that a beautiful song? Yes. See, Jesus in you, amen. But morality failure is huge, and we can stop it. We don't have to have it. And the key is avoid it. When you avoid something, you don't have to think about it. Am I right? Just avoid it. Just avoid it and make a decision. The second message I preached, I don't know how long ago it was, but finish. I love this. Remember we showed the video of Stephen Kawari that from Tanzania and in the country that he came from sent him to the Olympics. And that was a long, long run. I think it was a 26-mile run. In the Olympics, and of course he got knocked down, he fell, but he came into the stadium an hour and a half after the after the race was finished, and someone interviewed him. I mean, he was banged up, but a small crowd that was left, and they said, why in the world didn't you just drop out? The race finished an hour and a half ago. He said, and it's so important, because you got freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors, and he said this, my country did not send me here to start the race. My country sent me here to finish the race. And the Bible says in Acts 20 and 24, I think it's on there, great verse. None of these things Paul's talking about, he says, none of these things move me that I might what? Finish my course. God sent you here to what? To finish. You as freshmen and sophomores, juniors and seniors, you're not here. The 128 credits, what you need. I remember Brother Hiles, man, his philosophy was, man, get your credits, get out here, and do something for God. And that's why you're training here, whether you be a missionary or a Christian school teacher, a youth pastor or pastor. I couldn't wait to get out of here. 128 credits, went to Pennsylvania, and spent 31 years out there, and thank God I did. Nothing was here for me. We had the pastor. We got Pastor Wilkerson. But get those credits and stay with it and finish. There's just something about a finisher. someone that finishes what you're to do. You know what I mean? When I got handpicked the pastor of my church now, Rob Rhines, matter of fact, he's coming here in a couple of weeks, and I have the privilege of preaching my 40th anniversary. I started the church 40 years ago, and this church is doing strong and a Christian school, and I praise God for it. But he finished. He finished here. And it's important to finish. When you look at a resume, or pastor looks at a resume and say, you know, this guy, he never finished. Who's going to hire you? I certainly wouldn't. I want to hire a finisher, someone that has done what he needs to do. So finish is important. My country did not send me. 2 Timothy 4:17, Paul said this, I have finished my course before he was beheaded. But you know, the greatest finisher of all was Jesus. Because when he hung on that cross and said seven sayings of the cross, he said, it is finished. Somebody say amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus finished? That he went to the cross of Calvary and paid that sin debt for us. And then finally, get the other two up there, the worship, the walk, and the work. And I've preached this just recently to a group of preachers down in Bean Blossom, Indiana, and about 10 or 12, it might be 15 preachers were there. But think about this message, the worship, the walk, and the work. God is a God of order. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently in order. Serving Jesus, here's what happens. When you get that worship down and you get the walk down and get the work seen, will never lose its sweetness. As a pastor, sometimes it gets a little mundane, but what happens is there are a lot of pastors not in the pulpit today because they got things out of order. They put the work before the worship. And I know myself, when we built our new building and things, boy, the architect and the drawing of the plans and get busy over here. But the most important thing is having the worship down. Because it'll keep you going. It'll keep you going. It'll get in that walk. We used three men. Who did we use? Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And Noah finished the work, the ark. And then finally, drifting. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1 says, the more earnest heed in the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And I preached that message on drifting. Matter of fact, Brother Bushy's son made that boat for me. And but are you drifting? Boy, that's easy to do. That's easy to do. We should let them be careful of that, of slipping. But drifting requires no effort. There's no effort at all. Things you used to be faithful to. Now, this morning, those are the four, and I think they're all important. They're preventive messages. And I believe at college, it should be a time of preventive messages, so you don't do it. But today, I want to talk to you probably about the most important one of all, is keeping your heart clean. Keeping your heart clean. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of the are of the issues of life. It's a powerful verse. I've often said, when your heart's right, everything's right. Yes, but when the heart's not right, nothing works. When the heart's not right. So I want you to listen to me in the next few moments, okay? About a clean heart. The Proverbs 4:23 says, let's look at that. Let's all stand. For the reading this morning, I wanted to do that review this morning. I think it's important. Proverbs chapter number 4. Are we there? Say amen. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word heart is mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible. You know, if it's even mentioned once, it's important. But hundreds of times in the Bible, the word heart is mentioned. All the issues of life come from the heart. Your emotions, your desires come from the heart. And the heart's got to be right. You got to guard it, and I'll say that a little bit later. But guarding your heart, you know my age and I'm old. You got to constantly guard your heart. Your heart is desperately wicked, and you got to constantly guard it, constantly guard it. And I know myself, it's an ongoing thing. Am I right, Brother Bushy? Our heart. You got to keep it right. Brother Collins, am I right? The heart's got to be right. Right, Rob? The heart has to be right. So that's what I want to speak to you in the next few minutes. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for truth. Lord, just I want to be a blessing. Please give me clarity of thought. I want to be a help today. There's maybe, as Brother Osgood said today, that there may be somebody struggling today, or whoever it may be, Lord. And maybe it's, and most of it is a heart issue. To be quite frank with you, most of it is a heart issue. And if we get that heart right and clean, it pleases the Lord. So bless us to this day. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heart. What does that diligence mean? It means persistent and effort to keep the heart clean. Our heart and our feelings of love and desire is the extent of how we live about with our heart. Solomon says, keep your heart with all diligence. You concentrate on those desires that will keep us on the right path, keep you on the right path. Put boundaries around your desires. You dating couples here this morning, put boundaries around your desires. Put boundaries around your desires. Don't go after everything you see. Keep your eyes fixed on a goal. My goal was, I was 34 when I came here, married and two kids. My goal was what? To graduate and get out and do something for God. That was my goal. But in doing so, I had to keep my heart right. Was it always right? Was it always tender? Was it always compassionate? No, it wasn't. But it's something that you have to work at and to keep it clean. There's so many obstacles out there that can make your heart dirty and not clean. Put your boundaries, your desires. Don't get sidetracked on detours. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Samuel very quickly. Chapter 16. Look what God said to Samuel. We know that God took the kingdom from Saul, and he was looking for a man. Of course, Jesse had a number of sons, and Samuel went there, and he said, God said, no, it's not the oldest. I mean, it should have been the old, but it wasn't. But God wasn't after that. The Bible says that Saul was above head and shoulders of one every else. I'm sure he was a good-looking guy. But look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 7. But the Lord said unto what? Samuel, look not on the countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not a man as man seeth. A man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the what? Let me ask you a question. Look at me. Does God know your heart this morning? He knows every thought in your heart. Is it a clean heart? Is it a pure heart? God was searching for the right man, and he found it in David. Solomon, the wisest man in the whole world, had everything going for him. 1 Kings, don't turn there. In verse 11, 3 and 4, the Bible says his wives turned Solomon's heart away from the Lord. Turned his heart. Wives turned his heart. That's why it's important who you date. That's why it's important. You know, I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. Brother Collins here, and pastors are here, but listen to me. And we just a couple preachers were talking about that. You know, when church happens and a family leaves a church, it usually is a wife taking the family out. It's usually the wife. It's sad to say. And I've seen it over and over. I've seen it in my church. I've seen it in my church. What happens? The heart's not right. Because all the issues of life come from the heart. You want to make it, and all these things are important, all the finish and avoid what you can't resist and all those things. It's all a heart issue. If the heart is right, everything is right. And so you may have strong faith, but you may have some weak spots. You may have some weak spots. And Solomon did, the wisest man in all the world. And yet, he didn't have a heart for the Lord. His wives took his heart from the Lord. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you think. You are what you think. The heart, it's something that you have to guard all the time. You have to guard all the time. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Then you go down, don't turn there, but in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, think on these things that are good and lovely and beautiful. But the key verse is verse 9, when it says you can think on these things, you can think on them, but then do it. Go ahead and do it in verse number 9. Think on these things. It's important. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10, the Lord says this, I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Our hearts have been inclined towards sin from the time we were born. From the time we were born. And we can still choose whether or not to continue in sin. Are you listening? Turn to Matthew chapter 15 very quickly. Matthew chapter 15. I want you to see this. The Lord says, Matthew chapter 15. Great truth. Great truth. Constantly guarding. Matthew chapter 15 very quickly. Matthew chapter 15, and look at verse 18 and 19. Talking about the heart. Guarding that heart. Look at Matthew 15 and verse 18 and 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man. Verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. The heart can be desperately wicked. So out of his mouth, the things that proceed out of our mouths, how important that is. Luke chapter 6, don't turn there, in verse 45, Jesus reminds us that our speech and actions reveal our real underlying beliefs. Luke 6:45, I'm just giving you a Bible. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus reminds us that our speech and actions reveal our real underlying beliefs. Good impressions we try to make cannot last if our heart is deceitful. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. But there's one person that you can't fool, because God knows your heart. God knows your heart. Our heart is deceitful. What is your heart will come out in your speech and your behavior. You don't have to be around someone very long if they claim to be a born-again Christian if their heart is right by the things that come out of their mouth. You can tell what they've been listening to, what they've been watching. Come on, let's not be naive. You know who your friends are at college here. You know who they are. There's a group of young people here today that you live on the edge. You want to get away with as much as you can. You want to live close to the edge, close to the boundaries. That's why it's important to have boundaries in your life. To have boundaries in your life. And it's so important to guard your heart. Your affections push you into the right directions. Your affections push you into the right directions. Positive things that I can do protect my heart. Psalm 101, verse says 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. You want your heart to be clean? Be careful what you watch. That cell phone, who's got a cell phone out here? We've even lost some staff members because of this. I love our preacher, Pastor Wilkerson. He doesn't put anything underneath the carpet. It's all exposed, amen? Whether it's a faculty or staff member or you students. These things right here have killed a lot of marriages. Pornography. You put enough of that garbage, it's going to come out. What did Dr. Evans used to preach years ago? Garbage in and garbage out. You put enough in there, it's going to come out. Am I right or wrong? Come on. It's going to come out. I'm talking today about my heart and your heart, because all the issues of life come from the heart. You know when your heart's right, and you know when it's not right. You know when it's not right. Is this yours? What do you got on there? No, I'm just kidding. I will set no wicked thing. How to guard your heart? I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Psalm 112, 7 and 8. David said, I found a man after my own heart. God says, He delights himself in the Lord. I want you to turn to Psalm 112. This is great. David wrote this psalm, but I want you to see this very quickly. Psalm 112. Let's use our Bibles. Aren't you glad for the Bible? Aren't you glad for a King James Bible? Amen? Psalm 112, verse 7 and 8. Look at his head. He's talking about this man that's got a fixed heart. Watch this. Verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings, all the things that happen on television or the news media or whatever whatever's going on in society today or in your life or whatever. David said, I found a man, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is what? Get your heart fixed. His heart is fixed. Trusting where? Trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, and he shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. He should not be afraid. How important that is. His heart is established on a firm and permanent basis. Now go to Psalm 51. The famous psalm, a year later, Nathan goes to David and said, you are the man. For the sake of time, the confession is taking place in the psalm of King David here. 1 year has passed, and Nathan says, David, you're the man. And because we are born as sinners, look at verse 5, 51:5. It says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Our natural inclination is to please ourselves more than God. And we must ask God to cleanse us from within. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Cleanse me from within. Right conduct, don't miss this statement, right conduct can come only from a clean heart and a right spirit. Right conduct can only come from a clean heart. I'm talking to some of you dating couples. Look at me. I've noticed some of you way too close, spend too much time together. It's not healthy. You're in school and college. Your most important thing is to get your grades and get your schooling. And I'm not against dating, don't get me wrong. But are you going to finish? Be careful. When you're with that date, is your heart's desires clean and pure? Are they right? Huh? Oh, just a little holding in the hands won't hurt. That little holding the hands, all of a sudden it gets a little bit closer. Oh, one kiss isn't going to hurt, is it? And then other things. And then you know what you become? You become a morality failure and a mark. I'm talking about the heart. Brother Collins, don't we have to watch the heart at all times? Keep it pure. Keep it clean. Keep my heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God, ask God to create in you a clean heart and a right spirit. Guard it from the music or the wrong crowd. Are your friends, listen to me now, don't miss this, are your friends helping you to have a heart for the Lord? Are your friends are helping you to have a heart for the Lord? By the one, is the one that you're dating helping you to have a heart for God? Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. You know why I'm preaching this and giving you this challenge? Not only for me, because I love you. And you know that. I asked Brother Collins to sing our song today. That's my favorite song. He came to me. And I thank God that Jesus came to me. Because I love you. And my wife loves you. And I want you to have a clean heart. Guard it. Is the one that you're dating helping you have a heart for God? Psalm 139 and verse 23 and 44 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 15, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. When David says, watch this, go back to Psalm 51 if you're there, look at this one. He said, look at verse 10. Watch this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit with me. Do you see that? A right spirit within me. And then down here he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Listen. Restore means he had joy at one time, but then he lost it. We know what happened to David. But he said, oh, God created me a clean heart. Return unto me the joy of thy salvation. If your heart is not right and it's not clean, there's no joy in your life. Keep your heart clean. What the secret to a happy heart is filling our minds with thoughts that are true, are pure, and lovely. Dwell on the good things. Dwell on the good things. And I close with this statement. What you allow to enter your mind and what you choose to dwell on, you may need to make some changes. You may take some changes. Guard my heart. Guard my heart. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you today, Lord. Thank you for loving us. God, I love these kids. I really do. And I pray you'll guard their heart. Shall we all stand, please? Everyone standing. I don't know about you, but I need this message just as much as you did. Prevent. Are you listening to me? How's your heart this morning? Where are you at? How is your heart? Do you have joy in your heart today? Do you have joy? I'm talking to you dating couples. I'm talking to everybody here this morning. Guard your heart.